All right, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast. And today we're taking a look at HBO Max's wonderful debut of Wonder Woman 84. And it's written and directed by Patty Jenkins. So the last movie, she only directed it, but this one she has more of a say into the story. But nevertheless, it still stars Gal Gadot as Princess Diana, Diana Prince. It stars Chris Pine as an avatar, more or less. Kirsten Wiig and Pedro Pascal. And the synopsis is, rewind to the 1980s as Wonder Woman's next big screen adventure finds her facing two all-new foes. So the movie starts off to the flashback of Diana finding herself during this round of competitions back on Themyscira. She decides to cheat, takes a shortcut through this race. She gets to talking to about honor and respect and being who you need to be, which is the ultimate level of BS that's being put out by Hollywood. Nevertheless, it shoots to 1984. It takes place in a mall. There's a heist happening, and Wonder Woman shows up. People know who she is, but she decides to destroy the cameras, rescues a child from one of the robbers, goes to her really working for the Smithsonian, her missing Chris Pine's character. This one particular rock jewel connected to the heist, it starts exhibiting some strange, weird powers. Are introduced to Pedro Pascal's character, who plays Maxwell Lord, and he has an interest in that rock, like whatever you decide to call it. But, Jay, how did you feel about Wonder Woman 84?
Total waste of my fucking time. There was so many plot holes, shit that was just left open. What is going on? This movie was like close to 3 hours, maybe like 2.5 hours, right?
Definitely 2.5 hours. Like fully.
That could have been cut down a whole fucking hour. Exposition that wasn't even necessary. One thing I do know about Wonder Woman, she is a character that was created to show women as being strong, right? That's one of the things that I know for a fact. Throughout this whole movie, and maybe I'm the only one that picked up on this shit, she was pining over a dude and she was willing to give it all up for a dude, for a guy.
That has been dead for decades.
Like 50 years.
Because love conquers all.
Wonder Woman, the first one was good, except for the last act. But it was good. Passable, I will watch it again. This, I will not watch again, only if I was just comedy in my life. Let me go ahead and watch this movie. And can someone answer this question for me? Matter of fact, answer several questions for me.
Okay.
Maybe I missed it because I was so disinterested in the movie. I should be engaged. I should be wanting to figure out what was going on. I didn't even care. How did Maxwell Lord even know about the stone?
Bingo.
How? Can someone tell me that? How the fuck did he know about the stone? So this is a wishing stone, right?
Yes.
And you got to be in possession of this fucking wishing stone, right? When did Diana get possession of this wishing stone to make a wish? Did I miss that? For Pine to come back? For Steve Trevor to come back? I must have missed that.
I don't know if she did that when she had encountered it.
She did in the beginning of the movie.
Beginning of the movie when?
When she held it.
She did hold it at one point. That was one of my issues was everybody else throughout the film verbatim spoke. She never spoke hers.
I'm going to assume due to bad writing that she did it mentally. That's the best thing I can
do. Matt, you hit it. You hit it right on the goddamn head.
Yeah, but she held it. She physically held it.
But what both of you guys are describing definitely is a plot hole. Right. It's a big plot hole.
So he just magically knew about this stone. And plus, he seemed like he was kind of a dumbass. So he has the intelligence to know about this stone and the powers of this stone. Man, get the fuck out of here. This was lazy and poor fucking writing. And a lot of people that want this movie to do well, but be real with yourself. This movie is fucking utter garbage. This shit was 2.5 hours long, and they only had 3 action scenes.
There were 4.
Yeah, it was the mall, the one in the Middle East,
the White House, and the inn. I will say the action scenes weren't bad. They were pretty good.
CG on some of those action scenes weren't very good.
Another thing that kind of pissed me off, right? Let me compose myself. I thought she was known. Like, you already mentioned this, Barry. She was already known, right?
Yes.
So why is she destroying cameras? I don't get that.
Well, she needs privacy, James, and that.
Bitch, you're not walking around with a mask on. You walk around in a goddamn gladiator outfit. Your facial looks the same. Oh, I saw her say somebody, but you know, she works at the goddamn Smithsonian. Like, come on, man. Come on, man.
All right.
Like, well, whoever wrote the first one should have wrote this one.
They're going to have to wrap you up for a second. But
it was fucking horrible.
All right. Let's move on to Mike. Mike, how did you feel about Wonder Woman 84?
So I got to ask you a question first, Barry. So you sent me a message that said, did I see it yet? Because you wanted to hear what I thought before you ragged on it. Why did you ask me that?
Matt and I watched this together. Matt was asking questions. He was like, oh, so they're just going to do that? I'm like, the first half is not that bad. That second half goes into X-Men 3, Amazing Spider-Man 2 territory. I know how you feel about the first movie, particularly the last maybe 20 minutes of that first movie. The whole second half of this movie is that 20 minutes going on for an hour and a half. So that's why, Mike. That's why.
Okay. So I'll start with the few positives of the movie. I think J.R. hit on the action scenes aren't terrible. They're not great, but they're not terrible. CGI is shit, but we'll get into that later. But they're not completely terrible. I also thought Kristen Wiig actually did a surprisingly good job because when she got cast, I was kind of like, eh, really? That's where you went? But she was decent enough. Honestly, I liked her better than Gal Gadot, if I'm being real. And Pedro Pascal is just Pedro Pascal at this point. I don't really think there's much else. So they hit on one plot point that I asked myself, which was, how did Maxwell Lord even know about the stone? I guess I could assume because they go see the dude at the record store and his father knew about it, that Maxwell Lord might have read about it, but wasn't his father studying that shit? So how does this dude who can't get an oil business straight and basically run a Ponzi scheme just happen to know about the stone? His name is just in the bottom of a box that Diana happened to move some gruff and fine. So that made zero sense to me. Everybody else, literally the entire fucking world about it in the movie, has to verbally state their wish, but she never once stated, I want Steve Trevor back.
Well, she had her moment, the commercial moment, really straight out of a commercial, that all the chaos is going on in the world, or at least in DC. She sheds her love for Steve by leaving him in a corridor in the building. And then walking down the street, flying off for the first time. And
I got that. I'm just on the fact that everybody else in the movie had to literally state their wish.
But verbatim. They had to come out and say the shit.
And I had to assume, like, okay, I guess she thought it because I wish for such and such. Because everybody else literally had to say it.
Picking back on what you said, Mike.
It's called bad story writing, but...
But you know what, though? Like, to add on to what you just said. This is a genie movie. With genies, you gotta state your motherfucking wish. You can't just like telepathically be like, yes, this is what I want. No, you had to verbally state that shit. And she didn't state a motherfucking thing. And she did, like I said, I missed it. But continue. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Somebody raised the point of why is this taking place in 1984? Other than, I guess you were trying to go for comedic moments with Steve Trevor showing back up, which we'll get to him in a second. Well, I can see it after watching this movie is because you just ragged on a bunch of old 80s films. So literally, it's the girl who's jealous of the other girl and wishes she could be her. So she makes a wish on a stone and becomes her.
Yeah. This one tries its hardest to be between a Steven Spielberg movie because you have all the children being saved every now and then.
This is Some Kind of Wonderful. Have y'all seen that movie?
No.
Some Kind of Wonderful was an 80s movie that there was a girl that was kind of like a tomboy. She hated the popular girl because she was so popular, but she liked boy there, but she wanted to kind of be her, but she didn't want to be her. It's all this shit was, man.
It reminded me of a genie movie because you make a wish and it gets granted, but it's always that whole thing of be careful what you wish for. And then it was almost like Wizard of Oz, like they were trying to make the point of you don't need a grand wizard, this and that, whatever. Whatever you want is inside you. You just have to be that person. Okay, but I didn't come for that. I came for a fucking Wonder Woman movie. That's it. Wonder Woman was in four fucking scenes. The rest of the movie is just Diana. You wasted your villain because Cheetah was only on screen for like, what, four fucking minutes, if?
Well, she was in the cat's outfit.
If I'm not mistaken, I know Wonder Woman a little bit. Cheetah's like one of the main fucking villains.
Yes. Yes. And there was a animated Wonder Woman movie came out earlier this year. Much better movie than this. Much better movie. And it also has Cheetah in it.
Wasted a villain. And then on top of everything, and Barry, I know you said Wonder Woman was one of your things growing up. And I asked my wife, since when could Wonder Woman fly?
She has been able to fly.
I know she can leap and all that.
I thought she's been flying.
I think that's something that like in the beginning she couldn't fly, because that's why she had the invisible fucking jet, but we'll get onto that. But later on down the line, I think they gave her flight ability later on.
But she forgot about flying in the other movies.
Yeah.
Afterward.
Oh, speaking of flying,
Justice League, she ain't flying.
Speaking of flying, hold on. Did anyone gather this shit too? So Steve Trevor, right? He was a pilot in World War One? Two? Something like that?
Matt brought that up. He was
How the bloody fuck does this man know how to fly?
Matt brought that up. He's like, so they just want to take that plane and just fly like that? I'm still kind of enjoying the movie, man.
But he started a fighter jet with zero issues.
Totally different. I'm quite sure. It's been damn near 60 years, probably. So
defeated Cairo in one day.
Matt was just sitting there pointing out, how did they get back? Tell me, Matt. I'm still kind of enjoying the movie.
I mean, and that's kind of it. But I've seen a bunch of people complaining about it's strong women and that's why men don't like it and blah, blah, blah. It's bullshit because, like Jay pointed out, in order for you to feel that way about this movie, you literally have to hate Wonder Woman. She's like the embodiment of a strong female. It's what she's created for. If I'm watching it, I have zero issue with that. It's not that. The movie's bad.
Mike.
That's a scapegoat excuse.
Talking to my brother yesterday. A lot of it has to do with the media, and the media is pushing, it becomes a marketing arm for a lot of these movie companies. All right. Well, let me get into my comment. As I said before, I was on board with this movie. It had seemed like DC had figured out from Aquaman on how to approach some of these movies.
Figure out the formula that worked for them.
Aquaman worked. We had all these positive comments about James Gunn going to Suicide Squad, that they're bringing people back that said they didn't even want to be a part of these movies, which were a lot of the Justice League characters or the Justice League movie. I mean, obviously that's getting fixed somehow. It seemed like DC had figured out the balance between what Marvel does, the crap that they were putting out before, and what they should be doing. And this movie embodies what is wrong with Hollywood. It's a lot of promoting ideals instead of making a good movie. With this movie, the pacing is terrible. There were really two action scenes, maybe in the first hour. With that, the movie's 2.5 hours, so the movie's just way too long. Then the tone of the movie is all over the place. I think I mentioned to Matt early on, I was like, oh, this seems kind of like Spider-Man 2. Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 2, not The Amazing Spider-Man. And then it kind of goes into the more Richard Donner-esque Superman films. And then it kind of feels like Superman Returns. And then it feels like Days of Future Past. And then it feels like The Amazing Spider-Man 2. And it really feels like Amazing Spider-Man 2 because Kristen Wiig's character seems like she was just plucked from The Amazing Spider-Man 2, that she and Jamie Foxx are the same character. Chris Pine doesn't need to be in the movie. You have a lot of star power in this movie, but the acting from everyone involved, particularly Gal Gadot, she is not a good actress. You have Kristen Wiig's character. She's just very one note. And she goes from one note to another one note very quickly. Chris Pine's character, I'm just a sidekick. And I don't even know how I even showed up here. I don't even know how this actually works, but I'm here. Yeah, Pedro Pascal, who I would just say he just, aside from The Mandalorian, phones in a lot of roles. Narcos, he was good. Mandalorian, he's great. The main problem with this movie is just that there's too many ideas, too many characters, too little Wonder Woman, and it just winds up being like, why are we here for 2 hours? Hollywood is starting to beat people over the head. This movie was delayed for what? First of all, for what? Why did we wait this long for this movie if all it is this? Did someone from Warner Brothers see this movie before it came out? Hey, this is not good. Before they decided to delay it, like even till now, this movie could not have been good.
Did they do reshoots?
I'm pretty sure they did do some reshoots.
This is the end product, even with the reshoots.
This movie is not good. It is not good on a lot of structural levels. Again, that first hour works, and then it just turns into nothing. And then the last 10 minutes of the movie is just Gal Gadot sitting next to a wall saying to wish for something else, because if you wish for something else, James, you in particular, James, if you wish for something else, nuclear rockets just disappear magically out of the air. Everybody's all happy again.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you turn this movie into Superman for the quest for peace? Please tell me why you would turn this movie into Superman, the worst Superman movie. First of all, the worst Superman movie, The Quest for Peace. That's Nuclear Man. Hovering between X-Men 3, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and Superman 4, Quest for Peace. That second hour of this movie is all three of those movies.
And you know what? That whole part, like the last 10 minutes of what you were talking about when she was just like, no, take your wishes back and all this other shit, blah, 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 right? That's bullshit. Okay, so you're telling me a terrorist is going to be like, no, I don't want a nuclear bomb. Come on, man. Unwish that shit.
And on top of that, what if people don't even have TV or radio or anything like that?
Exactly.
This movie is very lazy. It's lazy in its ideas. It's lazy in its approach. I would hope for the next year or the next 3 years in Hollywood that we can kind of shake or lose some of these let's put overt ideals of social agendas in movies, because it's really holding back movies. Because I think Mike was saying earlier that people are making excuses why people don't like this movie. You made a bad movie. This movie is bad. Goes from being a structured movie to just being an amalgamation of ideas. Wouldn't that be nice if we did X? It doesn't become a structured movie. It just becomes a bunch of ideas merged together into a movie. That the only reason why Cheetah's in the movie is because Wonder Woman has to have somebody to save.
It's a collage of bullshit, man. It's a collage and of bullshit.
I think another problem with this movie is that you can have movies where you can have sympathetic villains, but when you do that, it needs to be executed well. But with this, I would say maybe Spider-Man 1, the original Spider-Man, has a sympathetic villain. But
I would say Spider-Man 2 as well with Dr. Octopus.
Yeah, but this one, there's no fulfillment to the movie if the movie doesn't mean anything in the end. All people had to do was just wish for something else. And the movie doesn't exist. This isn't the snap. People just disappear from existence. There's no payoff to having the movie work out the villain not being evil or not getting a comeuppance or like however you want to quantify it. It just does not work. It does not work in this movie just to have a very passive movie, a passive villain or a passive set of villains. I mean, talking about Kristen Wiig and ultimately Pedro Pascal, that somehow he's running from a bunker into downtown DC, hugging his son. His son, out of all the chaos that is going on, is all by himself.
It happens to find him
in the woods.
First of all, was it delayed? Was it that you wanted to shoot and you probably couldn't have early on in the pandemic?
But yeah, like, that was my question. Why did they delay this a year and a half? It makes zero sense.
The movie was done. It was supposed to come out last year. All right. Well, this movie must be good if they're trying to hold off on it. The pandemic works its way out. This movie would have been out maybe March, April next year. But they bring it out on HBO Max like it's supposed to be this grand thing. I can see if the movie was successful. I guess it is successful depending upon who you want to talk to about it. But successful from a movie-making critical standpoint. A whole new era of cinema where you can just watch great movies at home. This is not a great movie. Like, this is Netflix trash on HBO Max. TV show level plot from a lot of those DC TV shows stretched out to 2.5 hours.
Like, I still don't understand why this movie was set in 84. They could have had this modern day. When you have movies set in like a certain time frame, there's a reason behind it.
Yeah.
This had nothing to do with it. Like, for example, Stranger Things. It made sense. When you watched it, you felt like you were in the 80s. You know what I'm saying?
It has to be. Stranger Things does not work. And I think I had said this about the Charlie's Angels movie, that probably should have put that into the 80s.
Right. That would have worked better.
Yeah. Rather than the modern day take on. Like you said, there's no reason for this to be set in 1984. Regardless of what you decide to do with Chris Pine, if the same thing happened, I guess if you want to look at it as Pedro Pascal's character doesn't work unless he's one of those TV showmen like Callstown, his Ponzi scheme. Ponzi schemes have been going on. Ponzi schemes happened last decade. Well, let's go to scores. So, Jay, what score would you give?
Zero.
Okay. Mike.
I'm not even wasting more time. Zero.
What score would you give?
Oh, honestly, I don't know a score yet. It's low. I know that. The number that popped in my head was 3, but I'm trying to figure out why. Other than I will say this, I think I could sit through this again versus sitting through Rise of Skywalker.
I would agree with that because I would probably say I could also sit through this rather than watching Birds of Prey.
I mean, with this, I liken it to these recent Fast and Furious movies. And Barry, you heard me say this before. Literally, if you turn off logic, it's something you can sit through. You can't think about it. Just forget logic and anything that makes sense. And just take it for what it is. Because if you look at it, trying to be logical, no.
After a while, Fast and Furious, they kind of built that reputation. They had that formula. Like with Wonder Woman, the first Wonder Woman, it made sense. So you expect the sequel to kind of follow suit, and it didn't.
The Wonder Woman movie was needed because you had Batman, Superman, and the next logical character is Wonder Woman. They are the top tier DC characters.
Legacy characters.
Yes, on the Marvel side, that fluctuates between if you're talking about comics or the movies. It just varies.
It's all over the place in Marvel.
Yeah. But DC, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. And then you start talking about Green Lantern and just some of the additional characters. Wonder Woman's in that first three. She needed the movie. They failed the TV show. She needed the movie.
Basically, you just showed me that you sat down and said, oh, we made a bunch of money with Wonder Woman. We're just going to make something. Literally no thought process.
Yes.
You need something.
Yes. And that's what I keep saying about just turning in homework. That homework was turned in. Didn't matter what it was, but hey, $1 billion, right? We're supposed to like it. Everybody's supposed to be all on board with this. This was wrong. This was no. You're supposed to like this. You're biased or you're this. I'm like, no, this is not a structurally a good movie. Visually, very inconsistent movie. Acting wise, inconsistent. For me, again, the first hour of it, I was on board. And again, I was talking to Matt. I'm like, yeah, Matt was pointing out stuff. It's like, so they're just going to do that? So like, she just flies like that. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, but the movie's okay, Matt. Like, no, she's doing it. Yeah, I understand. So Chris Pine is going to show up. Like, yeah, Matt, yeah, I understand. And I tried. And then that second hour of the movie goes full stupid. Here's every idea we could possibly have. Wonder Woman needs to have her gold armor because at some point to become her true self. I'm like,
she had to shed her armor because Cheetah was whooping her ass.
No, Mike, she needed to shed her armor because she needed to become a true
Cheetah
self.
Was whooping her ass. She was knocking them wings off like they wasn't shit. If that's supposed to be some good armor, what the fuck?
Mike.
you're missing the point, Mike.
Mike, you're missing the symbolism of it. All right.
I'm just saying.
First of all, she shed Chris Pine's character, just left him in the street. And then it turned into a commercial, and then she started flying. I'm like, okay, I'm trying. Really, really, really trying. And then that fight scene with Cheetah has to be at night because they have to hide the bad, terrible CG that somehow Warner Brothers still can't fix that. I'm going to give this a 4.
Not being nice.
The fuck?
I'm going to give this a 4. This movie is flawed in so many ways. The main problem is probably Patty Jenkins. The fact that she wrote this movie and before the movie was written for her and she was only assigned to direct. This just felt like excess. It just felt like somebody just said, again, wouldn't this be great? Wouldn't this be great? Wouldn't this be great? Wouldn't this be great? And no one said, hey, well, you're kind of making the movie too long. You're destroying a certain character. You're destroying certain character arcs. It doesn't work. And I mean, Patty Jenkins deserves a lot of credit after that first movie. But yeah, so this movie has problems and I don't ever want to see this movie again. I think I've seen enough of it and it has nothing to do with Wonder Woman in particular. I'm just tired of bad movies. All right. So I don't want to see a bad movie. And even if Wonder Woman 3 is already greenlit, I don't even want to see that if it turns out to be bad. Beast Game Podcast. That's it. Don't subscribe to HBO Max for this. Justice League, subscribe. This movie, no. Beast Game Podcast.